Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not 100%.
Okay. Let's get it out the way now. Kamal is drunk. She has been sipping on some gin and juice for the show.
And why are you going to tell that lie?
I'm sorry. You know, you women can't be held responsible for what y'all
did. I haven't had a drop of... Well, I don't believe I've had any alcohol. I had cough syrup.
Alcohol?
Well, I was trying to figure out a way to say it. I haven't had, like, shots and glasses. I had, I don't know, 2-3 teaspoons of cough syrup.
Some spones, ham spones.
I got a cold. I hate summer colds, but, you know, it was so hot here. Shut up. Don't even talk to me about it. It was so hot here last week. We stayed in my RV by the lake with the air conditioner running.
Mm-hmm.
And I got both me and my youngest are sick. And it was hot. I don't even want to talk to you about it.
So you think this is a chest cold?
No, it's a head cold. Thank you.
I mean, because I know we're not supposed to talk about your junk, but your
chest. It's a head cold. Thank you.
Just saying.
Even if it wasn't a head cold, as far as you're concerned, it's a head cold. Because my junk is still off the table, except for in reference to all this craziness that's been going on the last couple days.
Well, let's jump right into it. Let's talk about your representative, Todd Akin.
He ain't none of mine. My representative happens to be a Republican, unfortunately. I have Reichert. But Riker's the one that caught the Green River Killer. He hasn't said anything as stupid as Akin.
Why don't you tell
America what Akin said?
For those who don't follow the mainstream media, the mainstream gotcha media.
The liberal mainstream media. The lame liberal mainstream media.
Hey, the main liberal mainstream media. And actually, some right-wingers are... jumping off of his bandwagon quick, fast, and in a hurry as well.
Like a hot potato. I wish I had that LaToya Jackson song.
You know, we will work that out.
I do own it. I just don't have it ready for the show. Shh, don't tell nobody I have a LaToya Jackson song.
Okay. I would hate for anyone to know that you have the copy of the LaToya Jackson song that sold more than a copy.
Well, it sold two, and I have both of them.
Because
I have it in P and 45.
Oh, go ahead, girl. You don't have an 8-track?
Not no more.
Okay, well, Todd Akin has stepped up and made it clear that he will be staying in the race for U.S. Senate because he's going to defy his party and defy the Republican leadership and stay in the race for U.S. Senate in for Missouri by any means necessary. Actually, he's gone straight Malcolm X. He's going to stay in the race. But for those who don't know, Todd Akin, in a never-ending search for stupidity, from the right-wingers, tried to define why there still needs to be laws banning abortion in this country and to keep abortion free, I mean, legal abortions away from Missouri residents by saying that there is no such thing as conception through rape.
Right. Legitimate rape.
Legitimate rape is acceptable.
But remember, if I'm being raped, I have the ability, like fairies and seahorses and queen ants, to not get pregnant. See, if
right.
I'm being raped, I have this, apparently I have this, like, secretion of some sort that I just, I don't know how it works yet. I've been practicing, but apparently my body has this way of this secretion that will kill off the rapist sperm.
Right, because no children have been born from women being raped, ever.
Well, that's what he said on Sunday, but Huckabee cleared that up for him. But, yes, on Sunday, according to him, very, 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 very few people have ever been born of rape. And the reason because of that is because women have the ability to stop pregnancies with some kind of anti-pregnancy juice.
Yeah.
But the juice only comes up and shows when we're being raped. This isn't a 24/7 juice.
No, because under times of stress and duress, your body
right. This is panic juice.
The anti-rape juice. Now, this is one of the things that has always amazed me about the so-called religious right or religious people who think they know what they're talking about, and they start quoting scientific facts that have no basis in science or fact.
Which is especially scary since this particular congressman is on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee of the House.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his science.
Yes, this is his science. Now, but
that I have anti-baby rape.
Hmm?
I have anti-baby rape juice.
You do. And all women have always had it.
Right, so, you know, of course, you know, if we had been perfecting it, we wouldn't have needed even birth control because we would have figured out how to do it in non-panic mode.
Right. But if we go back to the Bible and in history, which I know is something that religious right-wing fanatics refuse to use, rape has been used to change cultures since the beginning of recorded time and probably before recorded time. Conquering armies would rape cities and villages' women to impregnate them with their children. Now, since they obviously back in those days hadn't read the science that Todd Akin has found, they didn't know how to secrete their anti-rape pregnancy juice. What I don't understand is why people continue to listen to this crap. Why do people
Not even why do people listen to it. Why do they repeat it? Why do they hear something that on its face is the most absurd thing anybody has said in a long, long time and then repeat it? And then and here's what people don't understand. Yeah, he's on the apology tour. But he's acting like, oh, it was just a slip of the tongue. He said this crap before.
Yes, back far as 1988, I believe.
I don't know if that was him in 88, but I know that the person that he's been following said something like that. His, like, spiritual leader or whatever, or mentor, said it before. But, yeah, he said stuff like this before. Before he made it to the federal Congress, his state legislation, as a state legislator, he said some wacky crap, too. So, I mean, it's just hypocrisy upon hypocrisy for him to get in front of the television, in front of America, and say, oh, it was a slip of the tongue. I said it wrong. I didn't, you know, I mixed up my words. And let's just even think, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Without knowing his past and not knowing that this is, you know, par for the course for him. What do you mean you mixed up your words? What the hell were you trying to say? What words could you have possibly mixed up that come remotely close to what you ended up saying? So, what did you mean to say? Forcible rape instead of legitimate rape? Or illegitimate rape? Or you didn't mean to say we could shut it down in terms of rape? We could shut it down anytime we want to? Oh, what is he talking about? And, you know, here's the stroke of brilliance for this whole mess. So he's running against Claire McCaskill, right?
Right, and by all accounts, was leading in the polls.
Was leading in the polls. By all accounts, he was leading in the polls. But see, the brilliance of Claire McCaskill's campaign is such. She knew she was in trouble. And it was a runoff between three Republicans to go up against her. She backed him. She put out all kinds of ads saying how conservative he was in a subliminal manner because she knew that he was crazy as a Betsy bug and knew that if he's the one that got the nomination, she would stand the best chance to keep the seat. So she put out all these messages about how conservative he was. They weren't necessarily negative. They were more subliminal, and the great people of Missouri fell into her trap. And he won the nomination out of the three-way, and now it's golden. She had to know that he was going to open his mouth because she knew how unhinged he was in general. So now all she has to do is say nothing. For the next 87 days, all she has to do is just play his own words on a loop. They speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And the fact that he decided not to get out of the race, I mean, that causes almost a constitutional crisis, I say that in quotes, for the Republican Party because he had until 5 p.m. today to get out without causing any repercussions for the Republicans. He refused. So now
right.
If they want, get him off.
And says he does need the backing of the Republican hierarchy. He can do this on his own.
Yeah, they pulled their money. But here's the deal. Since he didn't get out by 5 o'clock, they have to file a lawsuit to get him out. And they have until September 25th to do that. So now it makes it a legal issue to force him out if he doesn't get out on his own. And it's going to cost money. If he had done it by this afternoon, there wouldn't have been any cost. They would have been able to put in a more viable candidate from their standpoint. But now because he's staying in, he's going to fight them. And it's going to cost money. And I don't even think they're going to put up the money to do it, because at this point it would just be throwing good money after bad. So essentially we have retained the Senate seat of Missouri. Thank you.
Unless, of course, idiocy will reign supreme. Stupider things have happened and dumber stuff has been the result.
Idiocy may run supreme, but given the people who have dropped off of him and as fast as they did, I mean, Karl Rove, he pulled his money and he's been very public about it. Right now, the only person he has really on his side is Huckabee, and we know Huckabee is crazy as a Betsy Bug, too.
Yes, and Huckabee it came on his radio show and tried to defend Aiken's comments by saying something to the effect of, there have been some great people who have been born as a result of their mothers being raped. So evidently,
right,
these women
I'm really
didn't
sure
get...
that's how they want to be remembered. I mean, he mentioned Ethel Waters and Billie Holiday and some cat that is his spiritual leader. And, you know, it's just, there's no, you can't defend the indefensible. There's just no way that this is defendable. And anybody who tries it deserves to be put in a loony bin. I think Huckabee needs to be forever ostracized for trying to defend this cat, honestly. It's ridiculous. And I think the Republican Party ought to smack Huckabee and just be like, you know what, you don't get to talk to any of our people. Nobody's coming on your show because clearly you pal around with idiots.
But see, but the thing that I'm trying to get to is Huckabee's defense of him and his statement completely invalidates his statement. Because of the people who were born through rape, obviously the anti-rape secretions didn't happen.
Right. And it's not as rare as they would say. And you know what? Huckabee's kind of swollen up lately. You notice that? He's starting to look like Chris.
Chick-fil-A. Going to Chick-fil-A every chance. He was so glad that the anti-gay marriage movement came out in support of Chick-fil-A, because it gave him an opportunity to go down and get an 8-piece every day for
so
2 weeks straight.
And, you know what?
In the movement, eating Chick-fil-A.
And what surprised me the most out of all this is how forcefully, if I can use that word in reference to Romney, how forcefully he came out, well, forceful for him, came out for... you know, against what Atkins said. And I don't know, I'm trying to read the tea leaves on that one, because, you know, Atkins' shitstorm is touching Ryan because they sponsored a bill together. Now, the right wing is coming out saying they all sponsored bills together, big deal. But no. It wasn't just any old bill, because Ryan is constantly trying to push through these personhood bills through the legislature. Constantly. All these anti-abortion, you know, he was one of the ones that was strongly against abortion, even in the cases of rape and incest in the life of the mother. And so, you know, they sponsored a bill together, a personhood bill. So it's kind of hypocritical for, I guess it's not hypocritical to be against Aiken for saying something stupid, but they still have the exact same sentiment in terms of abortion.
Well, here's the end game. Here's the tea leaf reading thing. And I'm going to start somewhere and remind me to touch back on Romney, but I'm going to go off Romney for a second. The whole religious right wing of the Republican Party's agenda is to devalue the idea of rape and incest as a cause for abortion. So therefore, if they can repeal Roe v. Wade, then they can prove that rape and incest don't really happen to cause pregnancies. And I'm sorry, I'm going to get the state of West Virginia to hate me, but we all know that in West Virginia, if your sister ain't good enough for you, she ain't good enough for your neighbor. If you devalue the comment that rape causes unwanted pregnancies and incest causes unwanted pregnancies, if you can say these things don't really happen, then you completely wipe out any reason for a legitimate, I'm using my quote fingers, legitimate abortion. This is what the movement has been, not just with Ryan, not just with Aiken, but with that religious wing within the Republican Party. You can add Santorum in there. You can add Michelle Bachmann. You can add Perry and from Texas, and you can just go down the line of these people who are trying to repeal and roll back to women having the right to make their own choices for their own bodies. So this is why you have Ryan and Aiken in the same pea pod, and it makes it a sticky wicket situation, because now, once again, the Republican Party is going to try to rewrite history and say, Ryan is not the person that Aiken is, because he never said these things. Now, he may not have actually come out and said that there is a case to be made for legitimate rape, but the sentiment...
But he did. Ryan did do a legitimate, quote-unquote, rape type of wording in the legislation.
But that storm has not hit him yet. And before that wave crest, and now that Romney is garnering support from the mainstream Republicans, he's getting better advice. And here's where I'm touching on Romney. As he has gone through this election season, the primary season, and now to build up for the general election leading to their convention next week, he is getting advice that he can no longer stand on the sidelines and let stuff bounce off of him. He's got to get in the game. He can't be Mr. Vanilla, Mr. Transparent, and let things just pass through. He's now got to step up and make statements.
Right, and I think that's what I was getting at, because, you know, I wasn't quite sure what his motivation was. You know, I honestly believe that, you know, he knows that that's a load of horse pucky, what Aiken said, but he supposedly believes in the same. Well, he does now in what motivated Aiken to say that, the whole anti-abortion thing. So, you know, I'm like, okay, was he going to come out and say, well, you know, I wouldn't have worded it that way like he did with Sandra Fluck? Or if he's really like, okay, this dude is off his rocker, we need to shut him down. You just don't know with Romney, because he bends with the wind.
He does. But this, now they have to keep him on message. So there will be incidents that come up between now and November where you will see Mitt Romney probably reverse statements he made in the past, but he will stay on a point going forward. He won't flip-flop in a 24-hour news cycle or less like he's done during the primary season. When he was in Ohio there to support the anti-union initiatives, and then stood there and said, I'm not going to take a side, and then came back the next day and flipped again and said, of course I'm here to support the governor. He won't do that now because he now has the big boys, the real deal people, the real spin doctors, trying to keep him on one path. And on that path is when we have wild hares that get out of control, a.k.a. Todd Akin, you have to denounce him. If Newt Gingrich, who is the voice of the Republican Party, let's not mistake that, that he is definitely the voice of the Republican Party. If he makes another Sandra Fluck comment or type comment, Mitt's going to have to make a statement. He's going to have to come out and either say, I support what Rush is saying, or I denounce what Rush is saying. Because right now, it's real serious. We're in the game now. And he's got to make a statement. He's got to make a stance. Even if it contradicts something he said last year. But he'll stay on message, mark my words. And this is why they told him, you have to denounce Akin because it's just too controversial. We're just getting over the whole war on women thing by denouncing it, and now no one is focusing on it. And then this fool comes up and says, legitimate rape is an option. Legitimate rape. Legitimate rape.
Didn't know there was a such. I didn't know there was a such thing as illegitimate rape.
If this is where I was going earlier. If you go back to the Bible, there are incidents in there where God supposedly sanctioned raping of women. You can go to Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, all Old Testament stuff. But, you know, when was it Moses and the tribes of Israel went to war with the Midianite tribe, the non-married, non-mothers, women of the Midianites, the virgins, basically, were captured, and the soldiers that captured them, Moses allowed his soldiers to keep those women as their own. Not as daughters, not as field slaves, but he sanctioned the raping of these women. Again, to poison the well and to wipe the seed of that tribe off the face of the earth. This is what conquering armies have done for millennia. It's what they do. So maybe in this man's mind, that's part of a legitimate rape scenario. Don't know. But to say, for some of them to say, women can secrete this anti-rape gene and juice that'll stop it, completely devaluates, that's a word, invalidates what is one, written in the Bible, two, real scientific fact, and three, completely keeps the war on women constant and real. So now, as you said, as you so eloquently put, we now have a situation for the Republican Party where they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. They can't get Akin to not run, and even if they did get him to step down from the race, who are they going to prop up? And in a panic situation, it never goes well for the Republicans. I'm reminded of a situation in, liberal town in the Midwest, Chicago, where Congressman Ryan, lost his seat after a sex scandal, and the Democrats propped up a young man named Barack Obama to run for Ryan's seat. So the Republicans tried to prop up somebody really quick, and they brought in people from all over the place, and was this the race where they decided on Alan Keyes, the carpet-bagging Republican token who will go anywhere, anytime to run against anybody?
I believe so.
And they lost, and they lost big. So in a knee-jerk reaction, if Aiken steps down from the race, they've got nobody to put in his place anyway. And he's attached his stink to that election, into that campaign anyway. So Claire,
well, and not only that, I mean, you know, he still holds his congressional seat. So I haven't been able to really get a feel for what's going on in that area in terms of the Republican who went up for that seat versus the Democrat that's vying for it. I haven't been able to get any real clear information. But I hope to God that that Republican gets his stink, too. I hope the Democrat consistently says, this is Todd Aiken's seat. and they don't put in a Republican regardless.
We can hope, but...
Well, yeah, but that would be gaining the seat that we didn't have because it's been red for a minute.
Yes. And if he can... get knocked out of that. I mean, he's going to lose the election, but if this backfires on him and he is removed from that seat and the House, then it's a win-win for the Democrats. And because Aiken has now basically thumbed his nose up at the leadership of the Republican Party, they can't back him.
They can't back him financially or otherwise.
Right. It's just an ugly situation they find themselves in, and I think the coalition of the retarded, and I apologize, retarded listeners who listen to the show, but the coalition of the retarded is starting to fracture. The mainstream Republicans, the John Boehners of the party, are now starting to reap the fruits of what they allowed to happen by bringing in the Tea Party people. And they see
right. And the killer is they know this guy. He's not an unknown. He's been a congressman for, I think, 10 years now. They know what I'm sure when he's on a smoke break and hanging out with the other white folk, he says crazy crap like this all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So don't pay no attention. You know, that's just Todd. He just had a little too much to drink. Don't worry about it. That's just Todd. You know, Todd's crazy.
And they're going. They also will, turn a cheek on his craziness. Turn the other cheek on his craziness because they need him. They needed him to defeat Claire McCaskill.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have to, take a swallow of this poison drink that he's created, and they're going to lose an opportunity to gain a Senate seat. Because it's one thing that you learn in situations when you make a deal with the devil, eventually you have to pay. And they the devil has come home to pay now, to come home to collect. It's time for them to put up the money. We have Paul Ryan as Mitt Romney's running mate, which should solidify the Tea Partiers behind the Republican Party. But what you're going to lose is John Boehner's control over the House is slipping further and further away.
Yeah, but that ship sailed. When did they swear in January 21st, 2 years ago?
When they allowed them to get on the boat, they should have realized that eventually they were going to come for the captain's chair. And it's happening. It's happening. And they're going to have to start. It's going to be infighting like we've never seen before, as the old guard tries to maintain over the coalition of the retarded.
Yeah, and you know, the main one gunning for the captain's chair is actually Eric Cantor. So, Virginia, I think it's Congressional District number 1, do your job. Because right now, Boehner is the devil we know.
Right.
Cantor is far more conservative than Boehner, and he believes in a lot of the Tea Party ideals. So if Cantor's still in Cantor's going to make a run for Boehner's position. That's just the bottom line. And it's going to be even wackier if he gains control of it.
Right, but the crazy thing is, He's better off right now because he doesn't have to overtly go after it. He has become the cancer that's eating from within. And his fair-haired buddy, Ryan, is sitting in a position of power as now the Republicans are starting to, you know, except the fact that Romney will be the de facto leader of the party up until the election. And if he were to actually win this election, the infighting is going to be ridiculous. You look at a situation where there's an 82% disapproval rating for Congress right now. And I think America is finally starting to get it, that all of these just say no stances that Congress has given the president has stagnated this country to the point that whether you're for Obama or not, you've got to be tired of this stalemate. Nothing's getting done of any significance. And yes, you're devaluating this man's presidency and you're putting his legacy in jeopardy. But in the meantime, you're a do-nothing Congress, and nothing's getting done, and people aren't getting jobs. Roads are not being fixed. Things are not happening for the country that need to happen. The credit rating fiasco of last year is still sending repercussions through the financial markets in on the planet. It's not just America. Congress, there has to be a change made. And if you change the man at the top, it's not going to get any better because now the Democrats will dig in and not allow a Mitt Romney to have power that Barack Obama was not allowed to have.
Well, you know, I think there is a golden opportunity here to really put in place an amazing ground game in which it's total Bush League. I mean, I don't mean Bush the president, you know what I mean, Bush League, where we could get some seats that we weren't counting on just by virtue of a really good ground game of all these Republicans, these few Republicans that are trying to move up and out. Because just because Ryan is running for vice president doesn't mean, you know, his seat's not in play. His seat's
exactly.
very much in play. If we support the progressive candidate that's running in his district, and when he loses the vice president, the vice presidential nod, he's out of a job. When Aiken loses to Claire McCaskill, if we back the Democrat that's running in that district, we'll earn, he'll be out of a job, and the Republican that's running to replace him won't get that spot. You know, the guy running against Cantor is amazing. I wish I could think of his name off the top of my head, but I have a head cold. Look it up. I'm pretty sure it's Virginia. It's either Virginia Congressional District 1 or 4. Wonderful candidate, very progressive. We could really shake things up. I don't think that the people of Ohio are going to vote Boehner out of his district, but if we could get, you know, 4 or 5 key people or get 4 or 5 key seats, that's going to be a body blow.
Yeah.
They're going to be running around with their, like chickens with their heads cut off because they're not going to know what to do.
Right.
And we are so close. I mean, the same with the Senate. I mean, we are so close to getting a majority. Not a filibuster-proof majority, but a majority nonetheless. We can do it. We got to get smart about this ground game.
Well, if the Democrats are smart, they'll let the man who's in the White House right now lead them to winning the ground game. And as much as I was opposed to Bill Clinton having a lot of say-so in Barack Obama's presidency, administration, there's a lot of knowledge there that can be data mined to help. And we need to hope that coalition comes together and brings about some serious change so that the country can get back on its feet and moving forward again. And you're talking about Wayne Powell, and it's Virginia's 7th district.
Oh, it's the 7th? Okay, I don't know why I have the first stuck in my head, but thank you, the 7th.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, there's how many districts?
But yeah, Virginia is such a large state here on the East Coast. But to get back to the Ryan attached to the Aiken situation, they have to be so careful right now. Because
let me interrupt real quick. Aiken apparently said today that he's not going to give up his bid to be the Missouri senator because he said there is a cause to spread a message from his creator, God. There you go.
There you go. It's out there now.
He said, I want to make things absolutely clear, and that is we're going to continue with this race for the United States Senate. We've given it a lot of thought, and the first thing we thought we had to do, we had offended some people. We tried to respond to that and let people know that we didn't mean anybody that we didn't mean anybody or to take rape in any way less than very, very seriously. But following that, I've had a chance now to run through a primary, and the Republican Party people said, when you win the primary, we'll be there with you. Well, they were there with us. Then I said one word in one sentence in one day, and everything changed. Aiken added that defense of the unborn was as important to talk about as the Obama-McCaskill-induced crisis of jobs and the economy. It is also appropriate to recognize a creator God whose blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is the very source of American freedom. And that part of the message I feel is missing. And I think it's something that we need to encourage people and to let people remember in their hearts what it is that makes America such a great nation, and life is very much a part of that whole thing. And the reason why we're going to continue is because I believe there's a cause here, and that there's part of the message that's missing, and a lot of people feel left out of the parties. So not only not going, he's brought his Bible to the game.
Oh, the last vestige of a condemned man. Fall back on the Bible and bring the religious right in to save him so he can be a hero to them. It's going to be really funny to see where, and I haven't checked, and I will do that research, but to see where the Michelle Bachmans and the Sarah Palins come down on the Todd Akin situation. Because that'll show it all. That'll show where the real war will happen. If they don't back him, then it'll fracture. If they do back him, it'll fracture. I think they'll try to stay in the middle and stay out of it, but since Bachman and Palin are so media and politically savvy, one of them or both of them will eventually open their mouths and insert their foot into whatever they have to say, into this debate, and it'll be on and popping. It'll be on and popping.
Of course, you know, who are my three favorite crazies in Congress? My four favorite crazies? Michelle Bachman, Peter King out of New York, Steve King out of Iowa, Lou Gohmert out of Texas. Now, the one that I call the craziest, I mean, the non-obvious craziest. I mean, we all know Michelle Bachman is crazy, but you only know Steve King is crazy if you listen to C-SPAN at 7 p.m. at night. He would be one of the people who just came out and backed Akin. Iowa, you know what to do.
One of the things we have to, as voters, as concerned and plugged-in citizens, one of the things we have to do is to be aware of who our representatives are and hold them accountable. Call in, email. You don't have to be threatening. You don't have to be overt, but you have to let them know, I disapprove of what you're saying. I disapprove of what you're doing. And not just when it comes to Congress, but locally. You have to say to your local politicians, I disapprove of what you're doing. I disapprove of what you're trying to do. And we got to make some changes. We've got to do better. You know, and that leads me to, you know, this voter suppression movement that's going across this country.
That's ridiculous. What they're doing, you know, like Eric Holder, I almost said Eric Cantor. Eric Holder needs to go to some of these states and kick the door in with the National Guard. I'm not even kidding, because what some of these Republicans are doing on the state level is crazy. I mean, even my 9-year-old daughter, she knows the mantra. If it's an election, Ohio and or Florida are going to screw it up. Always keep your eye on Ohio or Florida. I was talking to my husband, this whole voter fraud thing, we as Americans just don't commit voter fraud on a large scale, large enough to cause alarm. You know what I mean? We don't have these, not like third world countries where you have, you know, clear voter fraud. Committing an act of voter fraud just doesn't cross our mind as Americans. You know what I mean? As voters. Now, the people running might, you know, try and do a little voter fraud, but we as the people who are doing the electing, it's just not something that crosses our mind, not on a large scale. And I bet that a lot of the quote-unquote voter fraud are people who submitted their ballot through the mail and then happened to die in between having put it in the mail and the actual election. Or maybe somebody who's here undocumented but really wants to participate in the process and, you know, maybe that kind of voter fraud. But wide-scale, organized voter fraud, it just doesn't happen here.
Well, it's not a matter of it not happening.
Not recently.
There has been, according to all research, there have been 10 documented cases of voter fraud, 10 in this country since 2000. 10 across the country in all elections, in all campaigns, 10 in 12 years. 10 incidences of documented voter fraud attempts. Now, if you want to go back and say attempts of voter suppression, there are more than that happening today.
Yeah, and it's voter suppression based on a fallacy.
Well,
attempted suppression based on a fallacy.
Actually, not based on a fallacy. It's based on an attempt to win an election, a concerted attempt to win an election. And anyone who stands before a microphone and tells you there's no concerted effort, there's no conspiracy to do it, only need to listen to the Pennsylvania state speaker of the House, who said,
done,
voter suppression to help Mitt Romney become the next president, done. This man should be indicted right then and there on that alone.
Right. There's no organized, concentrated effort to commit voter fraud, but there sure is one to voter suppress.
Yes. Yes. But there is no profit, literally. There is no profit in trying to fraudulently vote. What do I profit from going to another district and trying to vote as somebody else? I mean, we've heard all through school that one vote is important. Everyone should vote because every vote counts. But if I go in and vote, if I come to Washington State and try to vote as you, and then you come in after me and try to vote as you, what's the end game? What have I gained? What have the people I support gained? It's some confusion. But there has been no confusion like the confusion that happened in Florida with the hanging chads and the who didn't vote and who what. One person doesn't profit. One organization doesn't profit from trying to create some sort of voter fraud. But if you look at certain situations, like in 2004, or 2003 actually, when the Bush administration assigned a no-bid contract to, oh my goodness, the name of the company just went out the side of my head, and no comments about the big hole of the big information that sucks out the side of my head. But the Bush administration assigned a no-bid contract.
Halliburton?
No, it wasn't Halliburton this time. I used to fix this company's computers. But to create the automated voting machine.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'll have to Google it, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sperry out of my head, but I don't think it was Sperry.
No, it wasn't.
But the issue is they assigned
Diebold.
Diebold. Right, right. They assigned Diebold the no bid contract to create machines to count votes. And the machines were flawed, but the Diebold president was a firm Bush supporter.
Right. I remember one instance where I think it was in Ohio County using a Diebold machine where the margin of the win was greater than the amount of total voters in the county.
Right.
But that's not voter fraud. No, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, 75,000 people from this county voted for Bush, even though we only have 2,500 citizens.
Right. But then you look at the situation that's happening in Pennsylvania right now, where you have the attempt to knock out 750,000 voters from being able to vote. Had those 750,000 voters not voted in 2008, Pennsylvania could have gone into the Bush column. I'm sorry, into the McCain column.
Mm-hmm.
So when you target a group because you know that group's numbers are numbers you will never bite into, and you keep them away from the polls, done. We have that is fraud, that is suppression, that is, in my mind, unconstitutional. And I think it's a crisis of not only consciousness, but a crisis of ethics that is starting to sweep across this nation that I don't think we've heard the end of it yet. I think what our forefathers, forebears, and actually, in my case, parents went through so that we have the right to walk into any polling place that we are assigned to be able to lay down a vote for whom we want to be our elected representative, whether it's local, federal, presidential, whatever. The war that this country waged amongst itself, within itself, to make that happen, I think that will pale in comparison to what the State Department needs to do, I'm sorry, the Justice Department needs to do today to stop this ridiculous attempt that's happening right now. Got to step up. If it requires having the National Guard stand in and say, wait a minute, no. If it requires federal legislation and federal lawsuits to happen to say no, it has to happen, because obviously the states themselves are doing a very bad job of policing themselves.
Very bad job. And we had the elderly lady, 93-year-old African-American woman, I forget her last name, forgive me, who was having difficulty getting her ID. And she finally got her ID, and now she can vote. And so they think we've been placated. Because she was the poster child for this problem. No, we're not placated. You know, we're not. This fight has to continue because, yes, what happened to her was tragic, but she's one of hundreds of thousands of people, literally, across this country who are facing the same dilemma. And it's people who have voted just fine before, you know, but all of a sudden it's not good enough anymore.
It's back to Jim Crow. It's back to poll taxing. It's back to grandfather clausing. It's
and
the
look,
new way.
You know what? All they have to do is take a book from the page of Oregon and Washington. We are completely mail-in ballot now. I do miss the the activity of going to my polling place and circling in my little bubbles and putting it in the machine. But they trust us as citizens to not commit any fraud. And they base this trust on precedence. We don't have voter fraud here. So there's no concern about us being all mail-in. I mean, they don't check. I am a registered voter, and they base my vote being valid on me having registered to vote and showing my ID once 16 years ago. And I still am able to vote. I haven't showed my ID. I think I had to show my ID in 2008, maybe. But how do I show it when I'm mailing my ballot in? I don't. But they know the instances of voter fraud are non-existent in this state. And so they trust the electorate. And guess what? Since we've been mailing them in, we haven't had any issues. It just doesn't happen.
Even if you go with the idea that early voting and mail-in ballots can be tampered with, you still have to count the votes against the population. And you can't do it on a grand scale that I can think of, and maybe because my mind isn't as devious as the minds of the people who come up with the idea to suppress voters, but you can't do it on a grand enough scale that would even touch the numbers of suppressing numbers of voters.
Right.
You can knock out a block of people who are non-mobile, who don't have the ability to go out and get these voter ID cards, who see no need to get a voter ID card. If you can knock out a block of 100,000, 200,000, in the case of Pennsylvania, 750,000 voters, then, yeah, you do stop voter fraud, but you also stop voting.
You stop legitimate voting. And this is how nefarious it is. There are places in some states, because of budget cuts, where their DMV or however you register to vote is open one day a week.
Right.
Or there's a – I forget the county, but there's a county in Texas. There's several counties in Texas that are very rural. It's in one county, it is a 127-mile round trip, because that is the closest big city. They had budget cuts. They closed the closest office down, so now they have to go to the next big city. And that's not uncommon. And in the case of, like, Pennsylvania, you can use your student ID with an expiration date. There's some colleges that don't put expiration dates on their student IDs. Now, personally, I think that's stupid. I think all forms of ID should have some type of, you know, expiration date on it. But
right, you just change who you are. I'm only
right,
going to be Yale Beverly.
But look, here's the deal, because this is how shady I am. If they hadn't put an expiration date on my ID in college, I would still be using their library.
But you know what? Actually, that's supposed to be a perk. When you graduate, when you attend a college and graduate from that college, and I experienced this myself at George Washington University, as a student of George Washington University as well as an employee, I'm supposed to have access to the library the entire time I attend the college, and when I graduate as an alum, I'm supposed to have access to the library and the online library as well.
But you know what? I would be using my student discount card, my student to get discounts on movies.
But again, all campus on-campus activities, you're supposed to have that access. It just so happened that my manager at George Washington University was such an underhanded, shady individual that my email was cut off before my last day.
Yeah, you know, I have my SDSU email for a long time. I might still have it. I don't know. No, I think they cut it off. But, I mean, you know how out in the public, outside of campus, you get student discounts. You know, you can go over to the AMC and pay the student fee. You know, movies would be $5 instead of $8. That's the kind of stuff I would do. Sorry.
See, so you're the person we have to keep the voter suppression stuff on.
I'm that person. But regardless, I just think that photo, that IDs should have expiration dates. And I think one of the reasons is so you can check in every now and again, you know. I I'm starting to not look 25 anymore, and I have glasses now, and I've changed my hair, so my driver's license picture looks completely different than what I look like now. So, you know, I need to get that picture updated. But nonetheless, it doesn't change the fact that, you know, they're creating a system that's designed to fail. Sure, you can use your student IV as long as it has an expiration date on it. Well, duh, a lot of these colleges don't do that. Oh, you know, you just have to go into your DMV. Well, you know what, my DMV is in Houston, and I live in Dallas.
But here's the other thing, you know, that's really – you know, this is all a reaction to a follow-up reaction to what they tried to do with Acorn.
Yes.
Acorn scared.
Yes. Acorn and the new Black Panthers.
Three of them.
Right, those three brothers with boots and dashikis.
Dashikis, they had on army fatigues. They didn't have camouflage fatigues. They had on the greens and baseball caps. Matching black baseball caps. But Acorn scared them because people were actually going out in an organized manner to go to the underserved and underprivileged and under-income citizens who probably normally would not be voting and registered these people to vote. And were there cases of overzealous or, in some cases, undertrained people who had quotas of names, creating names for voter registration? Yes, it happens. Anytime you hire people or get people to try to hit quotas on things like registering names or going door to door, people will get lazy. Not everyone, but there will always be a person or two who will get lazy and just fill in some names and act like they actually went out there and did what they were supposed to do. It happened.
Yep.
Get down
to. So instead of going after Acorn again, what Ohio is doing is going after the churches.
Right.
They decided that they were going to stop weekend voting, and, you know, Sunday the pastors were doing souls to the polls, and the pastors were taking people to the polls to vote. Now, what the stupid Republicans don't understand, while, yes, it was mostly, you know, minorities and black churches that were doing this, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're all voting Democrat. I thought the goal was to get people to vote, period.
That is the goal. However, when you look at the numbers, again, when you're talking about the underserved and underprivileged, the fear is the majority of those people are going to be for the left. And those people...
And they're right. They're correct. They are going to be for the left. But, I mean, you know, to me, you just have to have the greater good in mind. And they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, while, yes, the numbers suggest that the majority of the people are, you know, young college students, poor, elderly, African-American, some white Republicans are getting mixed up in this. They're making it difficult for people of all ages and races to vote.
When you do a street sweep, sometimes you pick up some people who just happen to be there, you know, and that's their end game. So what if we end up getting 200 or 300 when we wipe out 230,000? We'll take that 1%.
It's the same.
It's
the same.
But the fear that hit them.
Fear of a black planet.
Exactly. And that's exactly why you have the situation you have now with the voter suppression. It's exactly why you have the situation in Congress where you have people who will not back anything that President Obama tries to put forth. Exactly why you have people like, here we go, Hank Williams Jr., Ted Nugent, out and out lying on the history and the personality of this man, because they're just straight scared of a black man being in charge.
Didn't Hank Williams have a head injury?
Hank Williams had a lot of head injuries, but if I go back to my Hank Williams history and I base Hank Williams Jr. history, based that all on the made-for-TV movie starring the guy from the Waltons, he had a hunting accident where he fell down a mountain and was concussed and tore his face up. That's why he will never shave his beard completely off. His face is scarred beyond belief below his beard, beneath his beard. But, yeah, he's a severe head trauma. But this is the thing that gets me. They create these lies, and they get people to believe them. To what end? For Hank Williams Jr. to say that President Obama is, one, a Muslim, as if, again, what I've been saying for years, as if being a Muslim means you can't be president of the United States. Because as president of the United States, you have to be white, male, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant only. Only. That's all they want. So they're in a conundrum right now because they have to possibly back a white male who's a Mormon. And Lord only knows what they do. They marry each other. There's like 16 of them wives they each have. So you got that situation that's just bubbling up, but he's still not the black guy, right? So we're going to say he's a Muslim. We're going to say he hates the military. How in the world can you say President Obama hates the military when all he's done is use them as his hammer to take out Osama bin Laden, to help take out Gaddafi, to bring people home from Iraq, a war that America should have never been involved in, to end that war and to scale down the war in Afghanistan that should have been over at least 8 years ago, if it was the war that America had fought from the beginning after 9/11. It would have been over 8 years ago. But he's used the military as his hammer to send a message to the Somali pirates about hijacking American ships. He has put...
Yeah, that was a message well heard, I am
well
sure.
Heard.
Because I heard it over here.
Veterans Administration, who was concerned, actually concerned about veterans and veteran rights. This is a man who, yes, has made severe budget cuts to the Pentagon, or attempted to make severe budget cuts to the Pentagon. Budget cuts that were recommended by his then Republican Secretary of Defense, whom he inherited and kept from the Bush administration. We've got in Congress today people who 6 years ago recommended making budget cuts that Obama and his administration have come in and supported, who now say he's making too many severe cuts, we're going to diminish our military's capability. I watched Bill Maher the other night, and he had a gentleman on the show who actually said you cannot diminish the military to the point that we cannot police globally. The United States should not be in the business of policing the globe. We should not have our fingers in everybody's business, and we have for years. Since the end of World War II, America's influence in other sovereign nations' destiny has been too deep. But with that being said, we do not need to be stretched so thin across the world that we can't defend at home. I think in 2005, that became clear when Katrina hit the Gulf Coast of this country, and the National Guard in Alabama and Louisiana was over in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So though we have a military that is bigger and spends more than the next 13 largest nations beneath us combined, they don't think we need to make budget cuts, and therefore Hank Williams Jr. and Ted Nugent can go about, as well as others, can go about and say, this man hates the military, when nothing could be further from the truth. He is not willy-nilly going around the world flexing America's military might and killing and allowing to be killed a generation of youth on some ridiculously stupid venture. Might when it's needed, right when it's needed, and then get the mission over and come home. He's bold about it, he's decisive about it, and he has the right people in charge to get the work done. This attempt to make this man a demon is beyond any rational thought other than it's pure and simple racism at its finest. And when I say finest, I don't mean its best. I mean at its most smallest and clean cutting ability. And then you hear people say, well, there's no concerted conspiracy to make to divide and conquer this administration or to racially divide the country. That's bull. That's bull.
The capital B.
Yeah, people like Alan West, who if he really thinks he has...
Oh, Lord Jesus, that man is crazy as hell.
He makes Michelle...
I don't even understand that district. I mean, they got rid of Alan Grayson, who was a little over the top. I mean, he said stuff that made me cringe. He was unapologetically liberal. And I guess West is unapologetically conservative, but he is a liar, a misogynistic liar.
They all are lying. They all are lying because they want to make this man out to be something that he's not, to get people who don't have the ability to look up information on their own to be against him. You take a situation where you have, let's just say, 30,000 people go to a Hank Williams Jr. concert. Hank Williams Jr. says, we have a man in the White House who's a Muslim, who hates America, who hates the military, and does not want America to succeed, and apologizes for America. When there's not a single documented case where Barack Obama ever apologized for America, where he should be going around the country right now saying to other nations, I'm sorry that we have a bunch of stupid-ass people in this country who are saying lies about me, but he doesn't. There's not a single documented case where he's lied, where he's apologized for America. There's not a single documented case where he was ever a Muslim, ever attempted to be a Muslim, has ever tried to be anything but a Christian. There's not a single documented case where he says he hates America. But it's easy to say these things about this black man, and you're a white man on stage with wearing camouflage cowboy hats, riding a buffalo with an AK-47 or M16 on your hip, on your shoulder while you're playing your guitar, just 30,000 fans who are drinking beer and just as dumb as the day is long, and go, yeah, Hank Williams said it, so it must be true. Ted Nugent said it too, so it must be true. Well, you can go case by case at Barack Obama's record with what he's done for and with the military against George W. Bush's record, what he's done for and to the military, and see that it's not even level on anybody's scale. Barack Obama has been more judicious and more decisive and more supportive of military and ex-military officials, soldiers, service people, than George W. Bush. And then you're going to take a Mitt Romney, who's an X-factor, as a Mormon. You can't tell me that anyone who's supporting him now, who is only supporting him because he's not Barack Obama, can tell you what a Mormon will do in a situation that will require decisive action. Again, as I said earlier, it'll never happen again because he's being handled differently, but you have Mitt Romney, who praised Barack Obama for getting Osama bin Laden, and then literally the next day said he would have never ordered military action into another province.
Right, I know. Remember when they were talking about him not being hard enough on foreign policy, and this was going to happen and that was going to happen because he was weak on foreign policy, and then he took out bin Laden, and they start, you know, a few of them said, good job, and then the next day, well, you know, I wouldn't have done that, blah, 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 and you know, when he was talking about timetables, well, you'll just give the enemy the time when we're coming out. And, oh, well, why isn't he setting a timetable for us to leave? I mean, they are just so, it makes me tired. You know, I promise you, when is it this year, November 6th or 7th? When November 6th comes, if I don't get the outcome I want, I'm going to be drunk.
I don't even want to go down that road with you. I don't want to
drunk
go down
and on Xanax. You think I'm playing? I'm going to be drunk and on Xanax. Xanax is anti-anxiety. I need an antidepressant, too. Give me an antidepressant. Give me one.
And though I just
what's
asked
the name of an antidepressant?
I just sent a message to our online listeners through our chat window, but I don't remember the name of the general, former general who's now in charge of the VA, but he is the general that was dismissed by the Bush administration because he didn't support the war in Iraq. Alberto Gonzalez.
Wait, is this the one that's running for? No, I think that's Surgeon General that I'm thinking of.
No, this is. I don't know what his aspirations are, but he was one of President Obama's first appointees because the man was unjustly and unceremoniously told.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name. My head is muddled from this cough syrup.
But this is a man who supports and understands the importance of our veterans being taken care of.
Right.
Which was not being under the Bush administration.
I need to know his name. Google him.
So now we're at a situation where this lie is being put on another lie, and this is going to affect the outcome or part of the outcome of the election in November.
But you know what, though? The Democrats have to work on their messaging. That's just the bottom line. You know, I'm just going to call it like I see it. A lot of this stuff would not have the traction it has if the Democrats weren't better on their messaging. I mean, we can talk about it another time, but just all the stuff that was in the stimulus bill that you just don't know about. That's wonderful, wonderful stuff. But because the Democrats aren't good at going out there and tooting their own horn, we don't hear about it. And, you know, they've gotten better with coming out and saying, that's some BS and shenanigans, but they need to be even better, even quicker, and even more hardcore with it.
Yes, and I think that's going to be happening now because I think the Democrats have learned that we're not going to take body blows and just go sit in the corner anymore. We're going to come back out with haymakers. We'll come out the corner swinging.
Right.
Swinging and swinging for the fences. So if you ain't ready, coming your way.
So I'd like to talk about something else for a moment.
Quickly.
We lost a great one.
Global warming, here we go.
Yes. Global warming, and George Bush took out another one. We lost Phyllis Diller.
We lost several good ones lately.
We did. Well, one took his own life. But you know what? I'm still going to blame global warming because it was hot and he wanted to go swimming.
See, this is why I have seriously considered asking my cat to be the co-host.
So, as you know, Tony Scott, the prolific director and producer and brother of Ridley Scott, took his own life. He jumped off a bridge. And I've been thinking that he, you know, I said this a couple of days ago, maybe he had some type of inoperable, you know, illness. Because people don't just generally wake up at age 68 and just, you know, without some signs of mental illness history throughout their life, and just decide to just throw themselves off a bridge in the middle of the day, unless you blame global warming, because it was pretty hot.
I want you to take this into consideration as an idea. This is just my theory. I'm not saying it's right, but you think about this. According to the police reports, he pulled his car up to the bridge, walked over to the bridge and jumped over the fence and jumped off the bridge. He was driving a Toyota Prius. Don't get in a Prius. They make you commit suicide. I'm just saying, just think about it.
No, Priuses. I like my theory better. Global warming.
You can't run a Prius with the air conditioner on in the heat. Make you kill yourself.
No, global warming. And then, you know, Phil. You know, I know she was 95 and she died peacefully in her sleep. That's the way to go. But I just thought she was going to live forever.
Yeah, and a lot of people think she's been dead forever.
That's true. But, I mean, even as late as age 94, last year she was like on the Roseanne Barr television reality show. You know, and she wasn't doing stand-up anymore, but she was as active as one could be at the advanced age of 95.
I'm going to miss her. You know, she has.
I'm going to miss her, too. I'm telling you, this global warming is a bitch.
It almost got rosy.
See? You think I'm playing. And, you know, I got this head cold because of the heat, see? Global warming ain't no joke.
I know this much is global warming better stay out of your uterus.
You know, there's no room in there because the Republicans are currently in there.
Let them try to invade men.
I can't wait to see what they're going to try and do in my uterus next week.
Yes, sir. that's the show. It ended kind of quick.
Yeah, and abrupt.
And it says we have 10 seconds left. So next week, America.
Oh, go ahead.
We will catch you then. We'll find out
what the Republicans are trying to do to my uterus.
Right. Love you. Love your show.
Peace.